Whether you love fitness, want to love fitness, want to incorporate fitness in your life, or your fitness isn't working for you, this is an episode for you. We're going to talk about one of the biggest mistakes women make in their fitness and perimenopause, how many days per week you should move your body each week, and how much rest you need, as well as if you need to change your fitness routine in perimenopause to get results. It's a good one. Let's get to it. What's up, sisters? Welcome to the Period Whisperer podcast. I'm Bria. I'm your host. If you're new, I'm so happy you are here. I'm your perimenopause and menopause sister, your holistic trainer, hormone specialist, translator of your female body. I'm a recovering people pleaser and hustle addict turned body whisperer and hormone decoder. And I am here to help you de-stress your body, decode what it is saying, become the CEO of it, and own your own health, energy, and weight loss again. This show is for you, the overwhelmed, overworked, underappreciated step woman who dreams of a body they feel strong, energetic, and sane in. The woman who knows that she shouldn't just wave the white aging flag and believes in a body and life of peace, love, and purpose. But you don't just know how to get there yet. So if you are stuck in your body, your energy, your life, you are in the right spot. Let's lean in and learn what our bodies are saying to us. Hey there, sister. I am beyond excited to share this interview with you. It's with an incredible woman, Kendall Boyle, who hosts Fit Women's Weekly podcast. She has over 17 years of experience in women's health and fitness. Her energy is off the charts. Her knowledge is unbelievable. And we talk all about breaking down this change and the impact of fitness in women's lives in perimenopause, how to use functional fitness, the biggest mistakes that we make in our fitness, and really even how much fitness you should be doing every single week, how much resting you should be doing. She has so much knowledge and so much to offer. If you haven't already tuned into her podcast, make sure you check that out as well. But you're going to love this episode from someone who has so much information for us. She's a certified personal trainer, a nutrition coach, and she has taught women a real and manageable approach to building strength, confidence, and a healthy lifestyle for a very long time. She runs her own online training studio with her husband and has so much to offer here to help us better understand this part. So whether you are loving fitness, want to love fitness more, know that it's such a valuable part. This is a powerful interview and I'm beyond excited to share this with you. So let's get to it and enjoy the interview with Kendall Boyle. Well, hey there, Kendall. I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the Period Whisperer podcast.
Thank you so much, Bria. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. I love what you do. I love what you stand for. You know, I'm really excited to have like a real conversation around fitness. There's so many women that I know listen to this podcast that, you know, do love fitness, that have always had it as a part of their lives or even identify as an athlete and are running into some challenges right now. So I think it's such a perfect, timely topic. And I couldn't imagine anyone better to be on to share some expertise here. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited. I can talk on this topic all day long.
Yes. Yes, it should be a good conversation. So why don't we start? Let's just start a little bit. Like, tell us a bit about you, how you came to love fitness and helping others with fitness in their lives and really making it a part of who you are.
Sure. I mean, going way back, I was always a very physically fit kid. I did gymnastics, cheerleading, all the individual sports because I'm very competitive. Ah. So I was telling you earlier, my anxiety. So when it came to team sports, that was never my thing because I never wanted to feel like I was letting the team down, right? But like individual sports, if I let myself down, I could handle that. So I did that pretty much off and on till I went to college. And once I went to college, you kind of had that realization of like, I'm not moving as much anymore. Lifestyle has just completely changed. I was, you know, doing the normal freshman party scene. In a single semester, I gained 40 pounds my freshman year of high school or college. 40 pounds in one semester. And I was eating, like, I'm from the South, so we were eating like fried okra in the cafeteria, but I was eating vegetables, right?
Yeah.
And I went home on spring break and someone I loved very dear to me called me out and just said, "You don't even look like you. What's going on?" And it hit me the wrong way because of my type A personality. And from there, I ended up spiraling down, and I had an eating disorder that I dealt with for several years. Mm. Also developed exercise obsession, addiction, where at one point I had stress fractures in my legs from running too much. So I started biking, and because my bones were so weak, I fell off and I broke my wrist. So my college professors would tease me because I'd walk in with a new cast every week, like, what's going on? But no one would call me out. And finally, my roommate finally talked to my mom and was like, we need to do something. Something's not right. So I kind of took that and then started just kind of deciding, like, I can do this. I was pre-med in school. I wanted to actually be an OBGYN. Women's health and wellness has always been my passion. Mm. So I started studying more and looking at fitness in a different way. And then after I graduated, I actually worked for a breast center here in Charleston while I studied for my MCATs. And that was when I really got into strength training. And my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, said, I see you working out so hard and trying to watch everything that you eat, but you still don't have the body that you want. Just give strength training a try. And this was in like 2006, when there was still that stigma of weightlifting causing women to get bulky, right?
Yeah.
Right. He was like, just try it for a month. And I did. I got hooked. And also during that time as a medical assistant, I realized how empathetic of a person that I was. Mm. And I would come home in tears sometimes over everything that I had observed that day, or telling somebody, a client that was my age, 22, 23, that they had breast cancer. And I didn't understand how to break away from the job versus my life, so to speak. And I didn't want to have that. I was like, if we're going to have a family and a life, I can't think about this job 24/7.
Yeah.
But I knew that women's health was still my passion. I loved talking to my clients and my patients. So it was at that time that I said, what can I do different? How can I still help this amazing group of people just in a different way? And I did my figure competition that year. And at that point I said, you know what? I'm going to help women cut through the BS and not have to go through all this shit, excuse my language, that I've gone through for the past 4 years. And I decided not to go to med school, became a personal trainer. And my husband and I focused from the get-go all on women's health and fitness. And that's been my journey ever since. And
since then,
I've done trail runs, I've done ultra runs, I've done a strongman competition, every run distance you can think of, obstacle course races, hikes. I'm just a big believer that not only sharing the passion of moving your body through cardio and strength, I think they're both equally important, but for what we call living your fitness. Like, you can work so hard in a gym, but what is that going to do for you in your life if you don't actually use that fitness that you build?
Oh, I love that. That just gave me shivers. That is an amazing philosophy. Yeah.
That's the quick breakdown of where I got, how I got here.
Wow. That's, and you know what, honestly, I feel like we could have three more episodes based on your story. That was, that was amazing. And So I love that you focus on women's health, and I love that you lead from the front. And I love that idea of, like, you know, looking at, you know, fitness as your, like, what is it doing for you? Like, how does it allow you to live your life more?
Because we get so caught up, and this is one of the big mistakes that women make, right? Like, you get into fitness, most of us from the start, at least, because you want to lose weight.
Yeah.
And that might be how you get started with it, but you have to keep something, you have to have something that's more to it that actually keeps you going and keeps you motivated. And so having that memory of, like, living your fitness, and for everybody that's different. Sometimes it's just Dan and I going out to one of the nearby soccer fields and playing Frisbee. Mm-hmm. That's living your fitness. I'm almost 40 years old, and I can still, I throw my nieces around, and they're 7 and 13. And they, I will never forget, one of them looked at me and was like, Kiki, we love you more than our other aunt and uncle because you guys actually do things with us.
Yeah. You know? Play with you. And, yeah.
Right. And it's because of the things that we do in the gym that we get to now live a fit and healthy, fun life.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing. That's so amazing. So when you think about women right now, like, so, you know, if you're almost 40, like, we're talking right in that age box of, like, the women listening here, like, women 35 to 55, what are you seeing happening for women? Because we've talked already about, like, stigmas that we've heard about, but what are you seeing happening for women right now in this age box, like, in their health, in their fitness, in their bodies?
I think there's a couple of different, I mean, there's quite a few. One of the main things that I see women doing is following just generic workouts. And I'm guilty. That's what I do on Instagram, right? Because I'm trying to build a following. So I'll put out a daily routine.
Yeah.
But then I see that's what women are going to on a daily basis of like, oh, I see what Kindle's putting out. Okay, well, let me go see what Trainer Susie's putting out tomorrow and I'll try her routine versus sticking with an actual program that they can build off of. Because at the end of the day, in order to build fitness, you have to have something called progressive overload, right? We have to overload our system. And if you're just moving the body every day, obviously that's important for being healthy. But if your goals are to build fitness where you can increase your cardio or increase your muscle mass, which is so important for women our age, you have to follow a plan that actually makes you do that from one day to the next.
Yeah, that's so true. So so that one there is like recognizing that you're not having a specific plan. If you have goals, if the goal is to build muscle, to burn fat, to increase your cardiovascular or whatever other strength you want to increase on, we need to have a plan that does allow us to follow it from start to end and properly progress.
Exactly. Now, obviously, there's always the exception to the rules. If you are happy with your life and your body and you're moving 3 to 4 days a week doing generic fun workouts and that's working for you, awesome. But again, most women aren't building the muscle mass or aren't sustaining the muscle mass. So they need to make a few tweaks to their routine and how they look at their overall schedule.
Yeah. Is there an ideal in your, like in your experience, is there an ideal schedule for like how many days you mentioned 3 to 4 days for how many days a week we should be strength training versus cardio versus flexibility?
Well, the WHO has recently put out new information where I think it's like 4 days of 30-minute workouts or something like that, as long as you can get that in. Don't quote me on that. I want to say that's just a rough estimate. But in my general, what I try to tell clients, because I'm also trying to just get people to create a habit. And so I feel like if you can move your body most days of the week, whether that's for 10 minutes or 60 minutes, then you're doing an okay job.
Yeah.
Right. Giving yourself at least 1 to 2 days of rest, of complete rest. And I also like to say, like a lot of times we get this idea of a rest day where we just sit on the couch all day.
Yeah.
You know, like on a rest day, you can still go for walks. You can still get your
dog still needs to pee. Please take your dog for a walk.
Exactly, for sure. But if you're adding some sort of strength training into your program for 3 to 5 days per week, you're going to be in a really good spot.
Yes, I love that. So when you think about women, like obviously, you know, for 20, 30, 40, 50 years of age and beyond, like, do we need to change our routines? Or does it matter more about where we're starting from?
Both. I would say more of where you're starting from. I'm sure you have seen this, that most women, most people, not even women, it's just you get that instant motivation where you want to get started and you jump in too fast, too soon. You go from 0 to 100 overnight and you burn yourself out. Yeah. And I always try to remind people that this is a journey, right? Staying fit isn't something that you just do for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. This is something that you're trying to sustain for the rest of your life. We see stories now of people working out in their 80s, and that is so awesome.
So awesome.
But if you start from 0 to 100 and you've got nothing left in the tank, you're going to burn out. You're going to get tired. You're going to feel like, I can't do this. You're also going to be really, really sore and put yourself at risk of injury. So I always tell my clients, I'd rather you start off doing the bare minimum. I want you to finish your workouts being like, was that really a workout? I probably could have done more.
Yeah.
And then slowly progress. And then over the next 1 to 2 to 3 months, that's when you can start revving it up and having those workouts at the end that go like, oh my God, I just want to lay here on the floor. But don't start that way.
Yeah.
And then as far as like, as you, you know, you build up your base, as you get older, some of the things that I've noticed is just mostly recovery and warm up. And, you know, like when you're in your 20s, you can say, all right, I'm going to go work out. You go throw on a sports bra and you can just jump right into your workout.
Right.
In your 30s, you start to kind of think, okay, I'm going to go put on my sports bra, my shorts, but I'm going to walk around. I'm going to go for like a 10-minute walk or do the stair stepper for 10 minutes before.
Yeah.
And then in your 40s, it's like, okay, let's get the foam roller out.
Yeah.
Let's do some stretches. Let's do some hip openers.
Yeah.
And those are really habits I wish I had adopted in my 20s, because it's really hard to accept that as you get older going, oh, they were right. I really do need to. Whereas if you had just adopted those healthy habits from the get-go, it would have been an easier transition. And then with recovery, you know, in your 20s, you can do a workout at 6 o'clock at night and then do another one at 6 a.m. And you're like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
with time, it takes more and more to be able to handle that. And as we get older, those rest days, those at least 1 to 2 days of rest days for more of the athletic type, and maybe 2 to 3 rest days for the quote unquote average person is what you really need.
I love that you bring that up about, because although youth is forgiving and it allows us to do those things, it doesn't mean that is the right thing to be
exactly
doing.
So if you started those habits earlier, it would have been so nice.
Yeah. Imagine where we'd be if I started foam rolling in my 20s and not in my 40s, you know, like what
or even stretching and working on mobility, you know, all the things that every client I have now, I'll say, what are your goals? They're like, I want to be more mobile. I'm like, those are things like you think that you look at a toddler who can just drop down into a squat. And you're like, at what point in our life did that stop happening?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So we know, you know, we need to see where we're at and kind of progress. And we know we need, you know, some flexibility and rest. Is there anything else you see that's really important for women, especially in like late 30s, 40s and 50s that they should be thinking about?
Obviously, other things with recovery, sleep, proper nutrition, hydration. Again, the things that we kind of take for granted when we're younger and they start to add up, but things that you can do. I know, you know, whenever, anytime you say, oh, you should decrease stress, that's easier said than done. Coming from somebody who is always stressed out, right? But if you look at your life and say, okay, I might not be able to cut X, Y, and Z out, but I can get to bed 30 minutes earlier. I can drink 60 ounces of water every day. I can take a multivitamin. I can make sure that I'm eating what I want, but adding what I need to my meals. I'm getting my protein. I'm getting my carbs. I can't take credit for that one. That was my friend, Taylor Grasso, who was on the podcast. Okay. And I'm like, oh my God, that's such a perfect way of saying it, right?
It eat what you want, but get what you need. Yeah. Oh, that's such a good one.
Like you can always eat the cookie for a snack, but it's like, okay, well, I'm going to also add in that apple or a cup of milk so I can also get some protein in with it at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's make sure we're still getting our veg and our fiber and our protein and then sure, enjoy your cookie.
Exactly.
It does less damage that way anyway. It's like your body, like the blood sugar aspect, especially as we get older and, and like it matters a little bit more, like, you know, not just the calories, but just the impact of the food on the body. It's like, if you just give it a buddy, then it really makes a big difference. It goes a long way.
Exactly. And I feel like as we get older, we have that desire to want to build a healthy relationship with the food that we eat, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, if I'm eating the cookie, but then I add in the other stuff with that snack, I'm going to be much less likely to go for a binge of 5 more cookies.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually full. Yeah, exactly. Because I feel full and satisfied after eating a complete quote unquote snack of multiple items.
Yeah. No. And you notice that probably, maybe we should talk about that a little. I'd love to hear a bit about just like the nutritional aspect of recovery for, because sleep, as we say, is a tough one. It is like, I always think of it like trying to hold water or sand in your hand. It's like the more you try to control sleep, especially when it comes to more stressful times in life, like the less sleep you seem to get. But our nutrition, we do have a lot more control over what's going in our mouth and what's not. So when it comes to recovering from our workouts at this stage, you know, what is most important, do you think, in nutrition?
I'd say protein and hydration. Getting the electrolytes in. And I don't think, and I'm always surprised that most people don't, they think of like drinking an electrolyte drink as drinking like sugar-filled Gatorade.
Yeah, right? Gatorade.
Mm-hmm. Or that like electrolytes are only for really big workouts, where for women with our hormone health, getting an electrolyte in is actually really beneficial, getting you know, the potassium and the sodium. If I had been able to tell 20-year-old Kendall to salt your food, I wish I could go back to those days, right? I think that getting your electrolytes are so important, and then protein. And I know that this is a broken record and people that listen to your podcast are probably already health-minded and they've already heard, I know I got to get my protein in.
Yeah.
But you know, my husband tells me all the time when I complain about something, he's like, repetition is the key to success. So if I can say it 100 times, then I will say it 100 times. Yeah. Ladies, you got to get your protein in. And that's typically about 0.8 to 1 gram of protein per pound that you weigh. Yeah. And when anytime I tell clients that, they're like, wait, aren't you talking about kilograms?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's kilograms for a quote unquote, like average woman in America. And people that are working out and trying to take care and have optimal health
an
is an average. You got to increase.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think like I'm always saying like minimum 30 grams of protein a meal. Like, and what we're talking about here, I mean, if you're 150 pounds, you're talking about like 120 to 150 grams of protein, which is going to be more than that. Right.
Right.
And people find that hard. And I get that, like it's a change, but how are some, and I didn't plan to go here, but I always love hearing from other people, like how are some of the ways that you work towards getting that like 30, 40, 50 grams of protein in a meal?
Yeah. I would just like to first say that I was a cottage cheese fan before cottage cheese became cool again.
So, I grew up on cottage cheese. I love it.
Right? Oh yeah. My God. Cottage cheese and peaches was like a go-to snack in my house as like a five-year-old. Oh, so now that it's in the limelight, I feel like I'm just jumping on the bandwagon, but I'm like, no, I started the
bandwagon. Started the trend. I was there.
So I'm a big fan of things like cottage cheese. I'm also a big fan of using different collagens. You can use fake, like not a fake collagen, but like an unflavored collagen. You can add it to spaghetti sauces. If you're not going to do like a meat sauce, you can also add in to different soups. We use bone broth instead of regular broth. In fact, my husband taste tested. I made homemade bone broth last weekend. So we were drinking that last night. I put whey protein in things. I just make sure to have a good high quality protein. There's a difference between a good protein and a bad protein, right?
Yeah.
Anyone that's had a bad protein is like, but I was bloated and gassy and felt disgusting. But if you have a good one, it actually does digest really well. And that's a great way to get in about 20 to 26 grams of protein. You can also do things like Greek yogurt, obviously. Mm-hmm. We are big fans. We have different cuts of meat just so that we're not eating the same things all the time. We do lean beef and bison and chicken. I'd say all of that together is pretty much it.
That gets there. And I think people don't even realize there's protein in vegetables. There are, you know, and a serving of vegetables has 3 to 5 grams of protein. So it's not like, you know, like there are other ways to get to that higher life. You have your like main protein source and then you have these other good foods. I mean, you're getting there pretty, you know, a lot faster than we think. Do you have a protein, like a type of whey protein that you love that you openly recommend?
I love the Isopure.
Okay.
Is a really good one. They have a couple of different flavors. And then we actually get the EAS brand from a gold standard from Costco.
Oh, nice. I love that.
And one does really well.
And I meant to ask as well on electrolytes, because I talk about electrolytes and protein all the time as well. I think it's so important. And I love that you say it's like, we're not average. Women in perimenopause also not in that average. Like we need, you know, we need more than the average person. So do you have an electrolyte that you love?
My husband uses the Noon. He likes the Noon because it's like barely tasty, you know, it's like he has a very sensitive palate. So for him, just a little bit of flavor goes a long way.
Yeah.
I like the Nutra. I think one of them that I like is the Drip.
Okay.
Like IQ Drip or something like that. And then what's the one that I always keep? I can never remember the name, which means their marketing is really bad. Right. Every time I buy it, it's in my pantry right now. And every time I go to do it, I'm like, what was it? Like Nutra something. It's just a powder.
I love hearing that because it does. Like I know we already covered electrolytes, but it does. It's amazing how just, you know, in general, drinking it, even if you aren't working out, can make a huge difference in your energy levels and your brain fog because we're just not absorbing the water and the hydration without it. And especially if you're a healthier eater, if you're not eating processed foods, then we need it. You know, if you're in the winter, if you live in the desert, like if you're drinking caffeine, like all of these things start to dehydrate us faster. So I love that. That was an amazing point.
Yeah. And what's the point of drinking all this water to try to make you feel better if you're just going to pee it out, right? Yeah. Like that's what I tell clients. Like you can drink all the water that you want, but that doesn't mean your cells are going to hold on to that water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't be afraid of an electrolyte. If not, sometimes too.
You're right. You don't want to be in the bathroom 17 times a day. Let's make sure we're absorbing that. That's so good.
Exactly.
That's so good. And are there any other, like when you think about, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the mistakes, but any other mistakes you feel like we are making as women when it comes to our fitness and especially if our goal is putting on muscle.
Yeah.
And
again, I think it goes great for all women, but also like share the information. If your significant other is a male, I think that everybody makes this mistake and it's leaving too much in the tank when you are going into your strength workouts. When you're trying to lift weights, you're going to grab, a lot of times I see women grabbing a weight that is comfortable for them. Like if they're supposed to do 10 reps, they're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. And then they put it down. They're like, okay, I can go again for my second set. And I'm like, if you don't feel like you need that recovery time from one set to the next, then you're not lifting heavy enough because the whole point is to make your body go, whoa, what are you doing? And then force it to have to adapt and change. And when it does that during that recovery period is when you build that strength. But if you're just lifting weights to move weights, you're not going to do as much for your body and for your metabolic health as you want.
In fact,
new science actually just came out that showed on average, most people are leaving, I think it was 13 reps in the tank. So they're like not lifting near enough.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's a great tip. So you really should need your recovery period before you lift again. Otherwise, you're not lifting heavy enough.
Right. Exactly. Like when I put it down, because I do all of my workouts live in our online training studio. And so I'm huffing and puffing. And I always look at the camera. I'm like, if you guys are not huffing and puffing, you need to ask yourself, what weights are you using? And then I like to remind people too, you're not married to the weight choices that you use for your first set. You know, like if you're working out at a Globo gym or in your house, you kind of say like, okay, well, I'm going to use this weight for, I don't know, let's say squats.
Yeah.
And after that first one, you're like, maybe I could go a little bit heavier, but I already have this weight picked out. Right. And it's like, no, you're not married to that weight. Your second set, you can change, go grab something else.
I did this morning in my workout. I was like, oh, I should be lifting heavier right now.
Next time.
Yeah. Next time. Then I'm like, oh shoot, not a next time. Next week.
That's so funny. That's awesome.
That's a really good tip. Can we talk just a little bit about form? Cause I think, and I'd love to hear you talk about it because I feel like, I didn't really become aware of the value of my form when I'm lifting until my late 30s, like probably when I started getting injured from having incorrect form, even as a trainer. Like, you know, is there a way in your mind that you can, you know, talk to women about, or people, of course, but women, because that's who we're talking to, about how to know you're in the right form? Like, where does that form start?
Yeah. So that's called proprioception, understanding where your body is in space, right? Mm-hmm. And I always equate this when I'm talking to my clients about it as like, you see those memes of people that are like, this is what I think I look like. And it's like a perfect plank, right? And it's like what I actually look like. And they're butts up to the sky. And so it definitely comes one from practice. But two, the other thing I tell people is we live in an age of amazing technology. Yeah. And so nobody likes to videotape themselves, but that is they literally have the best tool right there. We actually don't keep mirrors in our gym when we, even when we were teaching classes, because I felt like women were getting too involved into one, looking at the people beside them or two, you know, moving around going, oh my God, look at my belly or look at the way this moves. I never wanted to take them away from like their experience.
Yeah.
But the great thing about phones is just point it on you. You can't see what you look like while you're doing it. Right. Yeah. But afterwards, I tell people, you do it. And then you go back and you look at me and you say, is this what I look like? you know, and start comparing it. And I'll even ask my clients, because I do free, like I'll say, post your videos and I'll give you form tips. But I always tell them, before you do that, I want you to analyze it. And I know that's uncomfortable for people to take that time to look at themselves, because you don't want to, right? Because instead of looking at form, you are going to go, look at how my belly is falling over my leggings, or look how my boobs are hanging through my sports bra, whatever the case is. When you can get past that and look at what you're actually doing, chances are you're going to be able to see, oh, my butt's not getting down in my squat. I'm hip hinging instead of squatting. My heels are coming up off the ground. And that's a really valuable lesson to start teaching, that proprioception.
Yeah.
And I also do like to remind people too, slower is better. Like just because you feel like moving fast weight might do more for you because your heart rate's coming up, slower plus time under tension, you're going to get a lot more bang from your buck from taking the time to make sure you're doing it right than rush the reps.
And that mind muscle connection, when you're like really squeezing that little part between your butt and your hamstring, it's like when you pay attention, it engages and fires so much more, and then you get more out of your workout. Like, why not get more for doing less?
Right. Exactly. For sure. Yeah.
Those are amazing tips. I love that. Okay. This has been awesome. I feel like we've covered so much. I know we already talked a little bit about like where to start in terms of, you know, we want to not push ourselves too fast in the beginning, but If we have women who are like are used to working out here and there, you know, they are ready to work out again, like where do you, you know, can we give them a step by step? Where do you recommend they begin this journey if their goal is putting on muscle?
Find a good trainer that can make a good program for you, yeah. Whether that is a personalized one-on-one training or a small group trainer, find somebody that you connect with and that workouts you. Motivation gets you started, right? But motivation doesn't keep you going. So you have to find someone that you connect with that you want to stay with because of like the discipline aspect. Like who's going to show up? Who's going to create you programs that are going to keep you excited to work out? Because for me personally, if you were to give me a 12-week program where every day I had to show up and do 3 sets of 10 reps of the same exercise, that's not my style of training. That is not what makes me excited. I would be bored. I would personally give up. And there's trainers that do that, and that's fine. That works for some people, right? But I really recommend finding somebody who's going to build you the type of program that excites you and makes you want to stick around for more than 1 week. When that motivation lacks and it falls to the wayside, what's going to keep you coming back? And then making sure that you have good, like, also have some, I like having some sort of incentive, like, and I like thinking of things in periods. So in our studio at Filmman's Weekly Live, I do everything in 8-week cycles. Everything's ongoing, but you know, it's just kind of like, let's get through this 8 weeks and then we'll think about the next 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And just having that timeline also helps. So for anybody getting started, it's like, what do you want this 8-week chunk to look like?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. What does motivate and excite you?
I personally love pushing, and my husband tells me I need to start slowing down a little bit. Like, I personally love seeing what I'm capable of. That motivates me and excites me. If you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to try it. Yeah. Or if something looks really hard and it's like something a professional athlete does, I'm going to be like, can I do that? Yeah. That excites me. That keeps me going. And then going back to living your fitness, I love having something to train for. That makes me excited as well.
Yes. Yeah. I'm with you on that one for sure. And I love that. I think that desire to be challenged to do something that you don't know is possible really speaks to that living your fitness, doesn't it? It's right. Like, let's just see, you know, like, let's keep my body moving in different challenging ways and see what's possible so that I have a body to be in for a long time.
Right. Yeah. And I look at fitness, I'm a very introverted person, except with my workouts. I love having workout partners. So I'm also just motivated because that's my girl time. All of my best friends are the people that I meet through working out. But if you were to ask me to go get dinner, I'd probably be like, no, but I don't want to leave my house. But on a Saturday morning at 6 a.m., if you want to go for a run, I'll be like, I'm here, let's do it.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I totally know that. I'm like, oh, I don't know that I want to leave at night. But yeah, you want to hit a hot yoga class? I'm in.
Exactly. I thought they were over here. My sister-in-law recently gave me a stack of napkins that said, you can come over, but you have to leave by 9.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I love that. That's such a good one. Kendall, this has been amazing. I love your energy. I can see why you're so good at what you do. I feel more motivated even just talking to you. So I'm really, really grateful. You know, I am obsessed with your podcast. So I, you know, for those who haven't already followed and checked out the Fit Women's Weekly, make sure you do that. I'll put everything in the show notes. But how else do we find you? If we want to learn more, if we want to get more fit and want to get into your world, how do we do that?
Yeah. Come on over. First off, I love you and your podcast too. I'm so glad that we've been able to connect this way. Yeah. I think it's so awesome. But people can reach out to me. I'm over on Instagram. I am always in my DM. So feel free to ask any questions or just come hang out. And that's Kendall Boyle Fitness. And it's K-I-N-D-A-L. Mm-hmm. My mom decided it had to be a little bit different. That's okay. And then fitwomensweekly.com is the website. And on YouTube, it's also Fit Women's Weekly.
Amazing. Awesome. All right, sisters, go out, sign up for all the things, start to get your fit on. You know, you've heard it here from Kendall, who's an amazing expert in this, how to start focusing on, you know, building a life that you can live in a fit way. And I just love that. So go be more in your life and not just less on a scale. And we'll catch you next time.
you so much for joining me on the Period Whisperer podcast. I want to encourage you to reach out to me directly and message me if there are topics or things you're struggling with so we can address those right where you are at. And of course, if you loved this episode, if you learned something, make sure to share it with your friends and please rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts.